Well, we had a good revival, didn't we? Man, I was encouraged by it. It was a real blessing. It wasn't very long, but it was a blessing. Thank God for His goodness to us. Achan. Before we go and look at Achan, I'd like to just mention something. You know, Jesus is alive. Amen. He's resurrected. He's not dead. He's not on the cross. By the way, in Mexico, they took my son-in-law and my daughter over there, Brother Waldrop, and he shows them the mannequin of Christ laid out there on the American side. And then the sister church, or that's maybe the mother church, the sister church in Mexico over there, and they have a dead Christ laid out there. You know, blood all over them in a coffin. My Jesus isn't in a coffin. Amen. He's alive. You say, well, he's hanging on the cross. No, he's not. He came off the cross. In fact, Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus took him off the cross, wrapped him up, buried him, and 3 days later, he just blew the lid off of that place. Amen? He just came out of there, and he ever liveth, and he's never going to die again. We don't have a full cross around here. We don't have literature with a full cross. We have an empty cross. He is risen. He is not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen? Jesus is alive. This is real interesting. I've never seen it before. By the way, if you go right through your Bible, you're going to see some things if you read prayerfully and carefully. I was reading a little thing by John Rice that was in our bulletin. Very good. Did you read that, the New Year's resolution thing? How many read that? Anybody read it? It's good. Boy, read these little things on the back of the bulletin. John Rice talked about reading through the Bible. He said you ought to read at least a chapter, and he said about four chapters to get you through the Bible. Three in the Old Testament, and four in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Allow you to get through in 1 year. John Rice said that you ought to read slowly and prayerfully. That's true. You ask God to give you something. You don't just read to read. Don't just read it like a novel. This is God's Word. And read it slowly and prayerfully. And if you will, you'll get some things you've never seen before. Here's the resurrection right at the death of Joshua. In Joshua 24, the last chapter of Joshua. Joshua 24:29. Here he's already given them their inheritance. By the way, I don't understand all the things. It does tell about the ones that became tributary to the Israelites, but I've heard so much ever since I was Brad's age here. I got saved at the age of 16. But ever since I got saved, I heard that they didn't get all the land over there in Israel. I don't know. I don't know if I can buy all that. It seems like to me that God gave them all the land, and it says they possessed all the land. I hear all these prophecy teachers that they didn't get all the land. I don't know. It seemed like they got all the land. They did not destroy every nation as they were told to, but they sure did a pretty good job. It was God that did it, of course, by the way. And I believe that they just gave the whole inheritance to them. It was promised to them by Abraham and Isaac. And now, of course, it goes on, and there's the eternal inheritance. Amen? We're going to be with the Lord forever. But I've heard such a play on that, and I really don't know if I can agree with that, because it says that he gave them all the land over and over and over again. How many ever read that? You ever read that? My, he gave them all the land. Read it. He tells all this, all the way from here to here, and all the way from there to there, from the great sea to here. And we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Anyhow, we're children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. We're children of the seed of faith. Amen? We're looking for a city, not an earthly city. I think we have too much, don't get me wrong, I just think we have too much emphasis today, emphases, every way you want to say it, on the millennium. I'm looking for that eternal city. I'm going to be walking the street of gold. Amen? Where there's 12 manner of fruit, river of life. Let the Jehovah's Witnesses look for a new earth here. I'm looking for the new. I know God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, but they can, some, I heard one preacher say, I want to rule over Killeen or something. And that wasn't Killeen, some city when I come back in the millennium. My spirit said that's a bunch of garbage. Bunch of garbage! We're to be spiritually minded, not carnal. Amen? I don't want any of this mess down here.
I want to be the mayor of Killeen.
Care less about it now or then. Amen. I don't want to be the President of the United States. Let God do what He wants with it. Amen. I'm just glad I'm in a free country and preach the gospel. Call it a Christian nation. I sure don't believe the Bible very much or practice it. Amen. We'd be hanging
feeding some people around. You can gas up some people, cooking some people. Amen. I think we've got away from the Bible. I believe mercy. Blessed are merciful. Amen. I believe when Jesus said that, blessed are the merciful, I don't believe he's doing away with capital punishment. Amen. Some people are just a mean spirit. They don't know how to be merciful to anything or anybody. I think God be merciful to a dumb cat. Down in Mexico, a little cat went out of the door of the one place. The little girl there, she ran and got the cat. The only cat I think I've ever seen in Mexico. I think they eat them all. That was the only one I've ever seen. I said, ooh, that's a cat. Little baby cat. Had grown up big enough to be worth eating, maybe. But I don't know. But she was merciful. She went and got the little cat, brought it back in. So I thought, well, we should be merciful. Hang cats by their feet. Hang them over the ropes. You've heard all those stories, haven't you? You should be merciful. And I tell you what, it's not talking about a rabid dog either. Amen. You're merciful to all those people. You just kill that dog. Just blow him away. Amen. Why? He's going to bite someone. He's going to hurt someone. He's rabid. He's crazy. He's mad. Amen. That's where we get that word mad, anyhow, don't we? Mad dog. Kill it. Why? Because you're doing it a favor to everyone else around you. But you're merciful. You have the spirit of mercy is what it's talking about. Well, the resurrection. Look at verse 29. Joshua 24. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. Isn't that a good statement? It was talked about Moses was the servant of the Lord. And here it says he was the servant of the Lord. We need to get that in the proper vernacular. A servant back then was a slave. When Paul said over in Romans, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, he's talking about a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And a bond slave has no wishes of his own. He has no work of his own. But hallelujah, he has no worries of his own either. The master takes care of him. He might not have much, but all his housing's taken care of, and everything's taken care of by the master. Amen? And we're a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Here, what a wonderful statement. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. Here he was the head of the whole nation of Israel, the commander-in-chief of Israel, and yet he's called the servant of the Lord, like Moses. What a great man Moses was. And then what it says? It says here, he died being 110 years old. It's interesting that Joseph was 110 years old when he died too. And Joseph is the perfect type of Christ. And Joshua is a very good type of Christ as well. He's the one who brings victory in our life and takes us over into heaven as Joshua took them over into Canaan land. I know that in Canaan land they had to fight battles, and in heaven we won't have to. I know that Canaan's not a perfect type of heaven. It's the picture more, some have said, of the Christian life and all the battles that have to go out. But Jesus is our Joshua. Amen? Jesus is our Joseph. Who was so... you ought to study the Old Testament Joseph. What a perfect, wonderful type of Christ he is. Here they both died at 110 years old. Real interesting. Look what it says then. What they did, and they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord. By the way, when people know all the works of the Lord, they'll be more prone to serve the Lord. We're to teach the things of God to our children, and our children. You fellas ought to teach your wives the Word of God if you're saved. I'd like you to know, fellas, that there are very few women that are real deep in the Scriptures. I've never met one yet. Hello? I've met some wonderful Christian ladies. Some wonderful Christian mothers. Brother Hammond, I've yet to find one that's deep in the Bible. God made you mothers. Amen? And wives. And we men better get in the book and teach our wives the Word of God. Amen? When your wife comes to you, like my wife once in a while does, she's teaching a lady, she'll ask me a question. Once in a while, I ought to try. I ought to be so in the book that at least most of the time I'll have the answer. I will hurry up and find out where to find the answer because I have the reference books to look it up. Don't you think? Does that sometimes? Oh, I ask her sometimes too. where's this found? She better, where it's found. You know, she, oh, that's over there. Thank God. You know? But I'm telling you, fellas, you expect your wife to be some great spiritual giant, and she can be a wonderful, dedicated, soul-winning, and faithful mother, and make sure her children are clean, and in church, and your house is clean, and be hospitable, and open her doors to poor people, and be the right kind of woman. But don't expect her to be a theologian. I've been saved for 30-some years, Brother Strickland. I've never met a real deep-thinking lady yet. God doesn't call them to preach. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you, that doesn't let you ladies off the hook for reading your Bible and studying. But it ought to keep you humble enough to not spout back when you get married at your husband. Amen? God has put it in men. I don't know why, but God's put it in men to dig in that book. Amen? Digging that book, God's going to use them as deacons and preachers. We can't even send our ladies out of the streets, not even safe. But we'll send our boys out. We'll go get them. Tear them up. Why, we're made different. Amen?
If I'm looking for a girl that's real deep,
I've met a few men, they say, oh, she's a wonderful person. Back you up, help you, teach you, and read the Bible to her children. Amen? Have devotions with her children. And assist you and help you and encourage you. She's a help meet. Doesn't mean not a help mate, a help meet. It has reference to being that one that stands beside and assists and helps. I'll tell you what, I believe the people down there in Mexico have it right. You know, I tell you, I went to 5 Bible conferences down there. Those women, they cooked the meals, took care of the babies, and the men ran the whole thing. They ran the whole thing. The women were glad to let them do it, too. Amen? So you say, well, my husband's not a spiritual giant. Well, you pray for him. Don't try to straighten him out or call on me to straighten him out. You call on God to straighten him out. Amen? God can straighten him out. God can put that love in their heart for the Word of God. Amen. God can change. You just do what you can by the grace of God. All right. It says here about the resurrection, though. Look what it says about the Scriptures here. It says, and they served all the days of those elders that outlived Joshua, what? And which had known all the works of the Lord. And then look what it says. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Haman, the fathers of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became an inheritance of the children of Joseph. You know what they did? You remember Joseph said, don't bury my bones down here in Egypt? And not a bone of Jesus was broken. Not a bone was broken. He said, take me up. And when they went out of Egypt, they took the bones of Joseph with them. Remember, it was a lot later, and it was Moses. Moses' time. And what happened? 400 years later, a long time later, they took the bones of Joseph, and here they are. They're still wandering all through the wilderness now. Now they're coming into the land, about 200 years later, and they decide we're going to bury the bones of Joseph now. Someone said that probably Ephraim or Manasseh took the bones around and kept the bones of Joseph all until they went in and possessed the land and they conquered everything and everything was straight. Then they're going to bury the bones of Joseph. Jesus, thank God, he is the resurrection of life. Amen. He ever lived. Joseph's a wonderful type of Christ, as we said, and so is Joshua, a wonderful type of Christ. And then it tells you about it, Eliezer, and here they bury though the bones of Joseph. In the midst of Joshua's death, speaking about that resurrection. Amen. The bones of Joseph were taken out of Egypt. Egypt's always a type of the world, so his bones were taken out. All right, now let's go back in Joshua to Achan. Chapter 7. Joshua 7. Be sure your sin will find you out, and we affect other people. We have here that Aiken, you recall, we don't, boy, our time's gone. We have 5 minutes left?
Four?
Wow. Tell this all in 4 minutes.
Wow. All right. What took place was God says, go into Jericho, Joshua, and I want everything that's breathing, everything that's breathing to die. I want it all dead except Rahab the harlot. And the Bible says they went in and took, he said, don't take anything. He said, all that we save is the gold and silver. That goes into the treasury of the Lord. Everything else is to be destroyed. Every beast, everything. I want it all dead. Especially the people, the wicked people.
And that was, they were not to take anything. You remember what Achan did? Achan took the accursed thing, the Babylonian garment, and he took some wedges of gold and silver and he hid them under his tent.
And the Bible says, then they went up to Ai. They just defeated big Jericho. But he had taken of the accursed thing.
And it was accursed because it belonged to God, and he took it from God. If all the silver and gold was supposed to go to God, and he took God's money.
You don't mess with God's money. Get away.
I have another sermon on, don't mess with God's silverware. Belshazzar, he messed with God's silverware, and there was a writing on the wall, and he died that night. You don't mess with God's silverware. Those silver things that came out of the temple, God's worship. And Achan, he took of the accursed thing, and God said, this is going into the treasury of the Lord. And he coveted, he hid it under his tent. You remember, they had the whole process of going through the tribes. Joshua was on his face saying, oh God, because they went up to Ai and thought they could take it easily. And 36 people died, it says in verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them, about 36 men died because of the sin of Achan. And the whole congregation were discouraged because of the sin of one man. You don't live to yourself, you don't die to yourself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You say, well, I just live like I please. I don't affect anybody but myself. You're a fool, too. Everybody affects someone else. And so what happened is 36 men died because of this man's sin. They came before him, and the family was taken, the tribe was taken, the family was taken, and finally they said, Achan, you're the man. He said, I coveted and I hid it under my tent. Look what it says in verse, just these couple of verses will be through. Look at verse 11 with me. And Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even, look at that word even, taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Look at verse number 22 in the middle of the verse, 21 in the middle of the verse. Then I coveted them. Verse 21. Then I coveted them. And they put away Achan. Look at verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with them took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them, not him, them, with stones. And they raised over him a heap, great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned away his fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name is called, that place called the Valley of Achor unto this day. I'll tell you, they got rid of that, then they went up to Ai and won the battle. First time they went up, and they couldn't do it. Why? He'd taken, and it affected the whole congregation because of one man's sin. Better watch out. People hear about your sin. You'll be found out. We don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. We need to deal with our sin, lest it grow, multiply, and destroy us. God have to take you out early because of your sin. As a Christian, amen. Achan probably wasn't saved and was wicked. He just died. It affected the whole nation. One other thing, look at David. You know what David did? He wanted to kill Uriah. But you know, you check the record out, and some other people died because they went up close. They shot arrows, and Uriah got hit and killed, but others died also. David was party to getting men killed. Not just, it was Uriah that was the wickedness, but he told Joab to get the people up close. He wanted Uriah dead, and other men had to die and put it along with Uriah, the Hittite. boy, watch out. You better get rid of your sin. Amen. You better take it to Jesus, get it forgiven and out of the way, and go on and serve God, lest it grow and grow and multiply. Help us, Lord. We thank you for your great grace and love to us. Help us to realize that you're a God of mercy and love, and we can come to thee for forgiveness. As our Sunday school verse says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Help us to be merciful with others. And Father, then you'll be merciful to us. Help us to seek your favor and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I started out to build the house of my dreams on life's shifting sand, and with no thought of the wind or the rain that would come in haste, I began. I gathered pleasures of every Thank you. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. Come on, Gary. Jesus, so house with the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim. It's worthy praise forever. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let its praises ever swell. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim. It's worthy praise.